This edition of the Monocle Arts Review was first broadcast on the 17th of April 2015 on Monocle 24. Welcome to the Monocle Arts Review with me, Robert Bound. Today I'm joined down the line by broadcast's Peter White, who's fresh off the plane from this year's MIPTV conference in sunny Cannes. We'll be discussing the Nordic region, which was put under the spotlight this year, the top dramas hitting screens soon, survival formats, and surviving the festival. That's all coming up here on the Arts Review on Monocle 24. Peter White from Broadcast Magazine joins us, not in the studio today, on the line. He's so fresh from the MIPTV Festival in Cannes that he's just come off the plane. But he loves speaking to us. Pete, how's the head? In a word, how was MIPTV this year?
In a word, fantastic. In a longer sentence, it's a long week of fun during the evening and hard work during the day.
Yeah, you described it before we switched on the microphone as the Glastonbury of the TV world.
Except you've got to get up and do stuff during the day.
Yeah, exactly. That's the problem, right? It's the problem. If all you have to do is be on stage, Pete, at 9 p.m, you would be a happier man.
Absolutely.
Perhaps. All right. Some of our listeners might be familiar with the way that MIPTV works. Normally it has a country focus. One territory or one country in the world comes and brings its brightest talents and its format developers and its production companies. And then, of course, it's lots of international people jostling for recognition and trying to buy and sell formats. Maybe we'll tackle the country focus first. Who is that this year?
It was the Nordics, so it was slightly more than one, but they sort of put Sweden, Denmark, Norway, Finland and Iceland all together and to see what they've got in terms of television. I think in terms of the Nordics, especially over the last few years, you've seen a lot of non-TV technology things coming out of there. So Minecraft, you've got Spotify, you know, even something like Angry Birds. So I think that the instances I'm trying to find, do they have the sort of content to back up the infrastructure and the pipes?
Yeah, I mean, and I guess a lot of our listeners will be familiar with those famous drama series, those Swedish and Danish, especially drama series. I mean, I know that drama is bought and sold in Cannes at the MIP conference, but what about the some of the more sort of entertainment format, some of the things that can be kind of sold more easily around the world as kind of pre-packaged things?
Absolutely, they've sort of got both. They, as you said, there, I think the sort of Nordic noir, the dark dramas like The Killing and The Bridge, as well as the sort of political stuff like Borgen, has always done well over the last couple of years, and we're still seeing a bit of that. There was some fantastic new shows this time. There was a Norwegian drama called The Heavy Water War, which in fact was it's a period drama about an attempt to kill or to stop Adolf Hitler's dirty bomb during the Second World War. And actually stars Anna Friel. It's sort of a mixture of English and Norwegian, and it's been done sort of as an international co-production. So that was particularly one of the interesting things. Channel 4 in the UK have just picked that up. There was a few other dramas in that sort of thing. Acquitted is a sort of political drama, and it's similarly to the Borgen. But yeah, as you say, the Norwegians and the Nordics themselves do like a format. One of the things that struck was there's actually quite a lot of classical music formats. The Norwegians have one called When the Orchestra Came to Town, which is sort of like the X Factor for classical music. And that was one of the sort of noticeable trends. You saw a lot of people trying to, they sort of figured that the talent show maybe has sort of lost its place. I think the Voice has started to lose viewers around the world, and obviously Rising Star, the Israeli talent format, never quite took off in the way that some people expected it to. So they're sort of trying to see if there's other ways that these things can be done, whether they're tackling slightly different genres or they're just looking at new sort of ways to get people to watch TV.
And I suppose, I mean, in the UK, we're very familiar with the choir, which was a kind of a format which was sort of half a talent show and half actually it was about sort of cooperation and bridge building and team building. It was often done in big companies or in villages or towns that sort of never spoke to each other. So there's a bit of a good news story to perhaps these classical music formats than the kind of out and out competitive nature of some of the pop idol style formats.
Exactly, yeah, it's seen as a bit more friendly, and actually that sort of works well internationally. In the UK, obviously, we're pretty happy for that Saturday night mean streak, but but around the world, you know, they sort of want less Simon Cowell and maybe more David Walliams. You know, there's a few, you know, two that struck to mind was there was a French format called Prodigies, which is sort of kids' talent show, largely based around classical music and certain things in that world. But it was very uplifting, and so was a Dutch format called The Orchestra of a Nation, which is, again, not too dissimilar from the choir, the Gareth Malone show. But, yeah, it's slightly less cutthroat, and you don't see as much backstabbing on it. So it's a bit better for perhaps a Saturday night tea time telly.
All right, and before we're gonna wade into a few specific formats that caught your eye this week, Pete. But just lastly, are either of us still within the age limit to enter this great French TV talent search called Prodigies? Are we too old for that?
Rob, I think you and I were a bit too old before we even met. Sorry.
Oh, well, damn it. Let's go to the first hot format, anyway, the first hot show that you want to tell us about. Sounds like a US thing. This is called Texas Rising. This is a drama. Talk us through this one, Peter.
Yeah, it was probably the biggest drama. And in fact, drama over the last few years has really taken over the markets. If a few years ago it was all about the formats, up until this year it was looking for that big hit drama that was going to sell around the world. This was probably the biggest of the year. Roland Joffé, who's the director behind The Killing Fields and The Mission, he directed all eight episodes of this. It's a Western, and it's very much a Western. It's horses, you know, there was 200 horses and 19 actors. Ray Liotta.
that's a good if weird ratio.
Exactly.
A Ben-Hur ratio somehow.
Yeah, exactly. I interviewed Roland and he said, well, there's pros and cons to working with horses. He said, if you feed them, then they're pretty happy and they'll sort of stand where they need to. But on the other hand, it's tough to have a real conversation with them.
Well, he probably thinks the same. Maybe many directors think the same of actors.
Exactly. and they had the talent in town. They had Ray Liotta, Olivia Martinez, Bill Paxton. They sort of were there to sort of showcase. It's a drama about what happens in Texas after the Alamo. And they had the sort of they turned Cannes into a Western town for an evening, which was quite a good sight.
Nice one. I'd expect that should have come with quite a decent whiskey and rye slugging party as well.
Exactly, right? a sort of a nice bar, but an old style saloon.
Nice.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no point in me asking if there was a fight. Of course there was. It was the MIT TV
Festival.
There was
a few, but I'm not sure if any of them had anything to do with Texas Rising.
Nice. And just finally on this this Texas Rising, I mean, a lot of films have done the sort of post-Western, you mm-hmm. know, including Clint Eastwood, I guess the beginning of that was Unforgiven. Mm-hmm. Is this a kind of classic old-fashioned Western where the men behave like men and the women behave like moles and the horses behave themselves or not? Or
if the Clint stuff is post-Western, this is pre-Western. And this is even earlier than that. Yeah, this is before they even had the revolver. This is a much more primitive version of that, which actually makes it quite interesting. So you've sort of seen the, you know, the Midwestern. This is the pre-Western. So it takes a good approach to it.
Cool. That's Texas Rising. We're going to go on to some of the more strange and notable formats. We have a few clips in our arsenal. I think this is something from The Raft.
Morning, day 3. Rich the Lobsterman has yet to catch a fish.
Getting really aggravated about the whole fish thing. I'm like, what else can I throw at him? Like, what can I make? What can I use? Let's see. What the hell? Oh, there's a big one. There's a couple sharks down there.
Shit. What did you see?
I saw a shark.
No, I mean, like, what?
That was a clip from the raft, the haunted waters beneath which we saw two sharks circling in that clip. Is that pretty typical of that show? It sounds like it's sort of voiceover to sort of testimonial. Is that the start of that show?
Yeah, exactly. It looked absolutely terrifying. I've seen a few horror movies or thrillers where they put people out in the middle of the water, and that certainly felt in the same way as those. So I think that's it. The stakes are being raised even further in these reality shows, and that's sort of one of the key trends. How do you push people even further than they've ever been pushed before?
Maybe you can tell us about Surviving Marriage.
You're like your mother.
You're like your mother.
This is not what I was anticipating.
This is a radical new therapy for couples on the brink.
I'm not sure if anything can save our marriage.
Oh my God, what are we doing all this for?
You got pregnant on purpose. You trapped me.
It's one of those funny things where you think, well, it's a crazy format. It's kind of one of those kind of harebrained formats that you almost think was kind of, you know, it was written on the back of a cigarette packet on the way to the meeting almost. It's like, what can we do? How can we really wow, you know, these production executives or these commissioners? How do you think the casting is done for a show like Surviving Marriage? If you were in a failing marriage, would you both want to write into a TV show together in order for it to be commissioned? At which point do you doubt the veracity of the troubledness of these relationships, I wonder?
Of course. I mean, no doubt it was written on the back of a fag packet on the way to the meeting. But
power to it.
Quite. And a lot of people, you forget, a lot of people still want to be on television. And it doesn't really matter, you know, whether that's their marriage is falling apart and someone's offering them the chance. Some people do it for them, you know, wanting to actually get through it. There's a few of these formats. And last year, I think you and I talked about Married at First Sight, which was two people who'd never met before getting married and whether they stayed together or divorced after, you know, a couple of weeks. And it does prove, I'm sure the casting is more difficult for this than the latest series of Big Brother, but it's there's still enough impact for them to, both in the States and around the world, to actually find people to want to do these crazy things.
All right, well, we've got, maybe we'll save the craziest for last, at least on this survival tip. This is a show called Father's Pride, and the one-line description of this is Dutch format that drops four gay men and their homophobic fathers in the wild. How on earth do you sell this program?
Exactly. Well, if anyone can sell it, it's the Dutch, given their background and tradition for selling wacky formats. But yeah, this was probably one of the best ones I saw out there. It literally takes four gay men and puts them into at the middle of nowhere in Argentina, or the sort of Dutch version puts them in the middle of Argentina. And they all have to survive and try and get out, as well as not only physically but emotionally with their fathers. And the idea is this sort of crazy road trip where they've got to survive this path to get them to gay pride in Buenos Aires. And it just looked absolutely, you know, the relationship was one thing, the physicality to it, the fact that some of these people they're all together as well. So you've got four homophobic men and four gay men, you know, fighting it out. And it was certainly one of the most extreme things I've seen out there. But as I say, if anyone can sell it, then it's probably the Dutch.
On formats like this, how much of it do you see? Do you see an entire? Are you given, you know, a tape, or do you sit in a theatre and you're shown sort of 5 minutes of this? It's the half hour show, kind of sped up or whatever.
Exactly, and what they tend to do is, as you say, that they'll show you about 5 minutes of each thing, and then if you're interested, then they'll show you, you know, they'll send you the full versions later. But because it's one of these types of events where everyone's running around, the more you can see of everything is slightly better than seeing a lot of a little. So yeah, you go and watch a lot of crazy stuff over the course of 4 or 5 days, and you know, this is, you know, right across that, whether that's drama from Japan or whether that's serious documentaries from Chile. You know, there is pretty much something for everyone at MIP TV. There's, you know, sort of over 10,000 people there to buy and sell. And particularly in April, the Americans tend to come a bit less. So the big studios, whether that's your Sony Pictures or your Disney's and your Warner Brothers, they tend to have a slightly lower presence, which means that, that shows from around the rest of the world, particularly in Europe and this year, China was a big talking point for a lot of people. So you sort of see slightly more interesting, slightly more global ideas than you do in October when the Americans come out in force.
Nice. Well, thank you for talking us through the weird and the wonderful and the dramatic and the content-led or the format-led. Peter White from Broadcast Magazine, thank you very much indeed. We shall let you go and rest your partied out square ride, I think, this week heads. Thank you, as ever, for joining us. You've been listening to The Monocle Arts Review with me, Robert Bound. My producer was the indomitable Holly Fisher. Join us again at the same time next Monday for the Week in Art. For the time being, I've been Robert Bound. Thanks for tuning in.